The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
And that's all of us. All of us. We're in a place where God will lead us into circumstances where we will make a decision with what we know is right or wrong. And our conscience is such a valuable asset, because if we allow our conscience to begin to be seared in any way, that's the very first step in hearing God.
Throughout the centuries of Christianity, there have been many revivals. From Smith Wigglesworth to Amy Simple McPherson to Charles Finney, these revivalists have led countless people to know Christ through revivals. In fact, you could say that Acts 2 was the original revival where literally thousands responded to the Holy Spirit for the first time. But what if we told you that not one of those revivals would ever have started if people like you and me had not responded to God? On this edition of Sought Out Global Radio, we'll discuss the significance of revivals and how the biggest revivals usually begin with a move of God that changes the heart of one long before the crowds ever begin to gather. Could it be true that revival begins with you and me? Find out next on Sought Out Global Radio. Welcome you back to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, and I'm joined in the studio with Herb and Bethany Marks. And joining us via Skype is Krista Pitcairn. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
It's so exciting to have you back as we start talking about revival. We hear a lot about this new thing that God is doing. It seems that every generation wants to talk about the new thing. I don't know if that's an American predisposition that we have, that we're always looking for the next new thing. But let's put the nomenclature aside. I think because a lot of times what people are talking about is revival. So what is revival for those who are listening today, Herb, and have never heard about revival, or have heard it and aren't really sure all of what is involved? How would you define it?
I think it starts with one person whom God has pursued and turned their heart and caused them to come alive on the inside because of what Jesus did on the cross. This is about the cross. And it's the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes, helps us to recognize that apart from Him, we're lost people. It's right there that when a person turns to Him in a genuine way, that He quickly, in a heartbeat, causes them to begin to understand the truths about the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. And He is the bridge to everlasting life. When that happens, people begin to find that the way they think changes, how they perceive things change. There are things that matter to them that didn't matter before, and things that used to be highly valuable begin to drop off, and a new believer, a person new in the forgiveness of what only Jesus can do, they often become surprised with how they begin to change the way that they perceive and think, do life. Things that didn't bother them before do now. They begin to not enjoy crass jokes, for instance. Things on TV that never bothered them before do. I remember when I was newly saved many, many years ago, a movie that I had seen with my family. And it was a documentary. It was 4 hours long. It was, you know, one of the mega movies of the day. I saw that within the first year that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I just came away shaking my head saying, I enjoyed that. Truly, there is a change that not only intellectually you come into, but emotionally. And when there really is an emotional response, you know that there is a shift that's going on.
Krista, you are the associate pastor at a church in Roseburg, Oregon, and you're obviously interacting with people in your own congregation and people that are coming to you off the street every day. What are you hearing from people that are talking about the soon coming kingdom?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think there's a lot of people having this discussion of what is revival and what does revival look like, and you know, both inside the four walls and even outside the four walls, because I just do think that it's a bit of a buzzword right now, but I think it's, you know, a really valid conversation on what do we think about that and what does it look like. And you know, for me, when I study church history, like I look at the John Knoxes, I look at the Evan Roberts, you know, you look at the Mariah yeah. Woodworth Eder, you look at the Catherine Colemans, and really it comes down to, here's these people that personally had a crazy encounter with God that radically transformed them, that got them to such a place of such desperation. I really believe that revival is produced from desperation. Desperation gets you on your face and gets you hungry for the more of God, the presence of God. So I guess to answer your question, Mark, it really comes down to, for me, and I guess in the dialogue and conversations I've been having with people, is revival, and it probably echoes a bit what Herb said, revival really starts with us. It begins internally, and we begin to see the transformation. We begin to see the desperation come out of our lives, longing for the more in the presence of God. It's the more of God that changes us from having an ordinary life, an ordinary walk with God, to an extraordinary walk with God, a supernatural lifestyle. We're not looking for just the one-hit wonder. We're looking for a sustained fire that we're called to burn and carry with. And that's what brings, I believe, the revival in a city, which ultimately leads to a state, to a nation beyond, you know, is people having a personal encounter with God and it provoking a hunger and a desperation that He really is the only thing that satisfies. He truly is our source. He really is the answer to America and everything we're facing. When we begin to take that bent and kind of like what Evan Roberts used to pray, "Bend me, Lord," that was kind of his famous revival prayer. I believe there's many of us that are living today with breath in our body praying the same prayer. Bend me, God, you know, bend me to the things of you, bend me to the heart of the Spirit, that I'm out of the way so you, Lord, can be fully in the spotlight leading this move, because it can't be led by man. I think we've tried that in the past and it's failed miserably. This has to be a supernatural, by the Spirit of God, move that's really going to change this nation, but also change us personally. And that's really ultimately where it begins.
Bethany Marks, I have, you know, we have talked about restlessness in the past. We've talked about, yes, and dissatisfaction.
Yes. I
just have this sense right now that there are people that are sitting in church that are restless. Or it doesn't have to be church. It could be work. It could be home. It could be anywhere. There's restlessness and something begins to stir inside them. Are we talking about something that is along the lines of revival that's happening in that person when they start to have that restlessness?
We know that there are people sitting in the pews that are dissatisfied. So I think that's an alarm. What do we do with that? That's the question. And listening to Krista talk, I totally agree. Will those people in desperation fall on their face? Who was it that would just lay on the ground and say, "God, show me your view of me," every day? It was a famous man. And, you know, in desperation, pursue God. That's the starting point. And it has to happen on an individual level. Now, if we can be leaders who start a spark in people and say, "Wow, I am dissatisfied. I do need to pursue God. I do need to get in. I need to change. I need to move forward in my relationship with Him. I can't do status quo anymore." Then I say yes. And leaders across the everywhere, you know, want that. That's their heartbeat. But it starts with people who are dissatisfied and making a choice. What am I going to do? And a lot of times we stay where we are. We don't change. And change can be as simple as praying from the heart instead of from the head. The woman at the well didn't even know that she was about to encounter God.
That's true.
John chapter 4, honey.
Yeah.
You talk about it. It's awesome. She was just doing life as usual, had no clue.
She was, yeah.
Except she, you know, I have to think this woman had the high possibility of being dissatisfied. However, we don't know her frame of reference. We know that she was doing life as usual, maybe driving along the freeway.
Well, we, you know, we can, there is a little bit of a view into her life and the fact that she didn't do relationships well. I mean,
no.
Every person longs for relationships to work. I mean, nobody goes down the aisle to make a commitment to somebody only to, you know, for it to fall apart. And here this lady had been married several times, and the guy that she was with now, she wasn't married to. And so you know that there are some places of disappointment in her and dissatisfaction. But living life and doing as well as she knew how, and here she is at the well, and Jesus comes up and just begins to carry a conversation with her. She doesn't know who it is until he begins to share with her some items that, in her mind, there's no way he could have known. And by insight that was revelatory, he began to talk to her about her. And it was at this point that she needed to decide if she's going to stay honest or not, or if she's going to try to shake him off. Because in a way, he was carrying conversation with her that had to do with opportunities for her to be dishonest. And that's all of us. All of us. We're in a place where God will lead us into circumstances where we will make a decision with what we know is right or wrong. And our conscience is such a valuable asset, because if we allow our conscience to begin to be seared in any way, that's the very first step in hearing God, is in the place that if we continue to do the things that we know are incorrect, wrong, it could even be small things, not being truthful in our taxes. I get it. You know, it could be something having to do with not telling the truth. We're real strong with that with our son, that he'd be a truth teller. All the way to the incredible epidemic that's happening right now in our nation, where at the click of a mouse, there can be horrific things come up on the screen. That'll kill the conscience quicker than most anything I know. And it's one of the major arsenals that the adversary, the devil, puts into place of temptation for people to lose their conscience, as it were. We did a booth for dream interpretation. And in other words, what I'm saying to you is that these are ordinary people who are not going to church, and we just hung up a tile, myself and another guy, and it said dream interpretation, and we began to have a lineup, and people sat down. We were going at it full time without a stop, of people sharing with us their dreams, wondering what it meant. And it was by the very same gift of the Holy Spirit, word of knowledge, that Jesus was operating in John chapter 4, that we brought insight into their lives. We had people breaking down, crying, saying, that makes sense. How did you do that? I mean, it was amazing the different kinds of ways that God is right now actively pursuing people, seeking them out, even while they sleep. And they're waking up saying, I don't understand this. I know there's somebody today listening to us that are having dreams and they don't understand what it means. But God is on the pursuit, and you need to go to somebody. Full gospel church that believes in the Bible, and have them pray with you and ask God, what is he saying to you even through this encounter?
You know, something just to add about the woman at the well, when I begin to study that portion of scripture, it really just shows how really incredible and even yet controversial Jesus really was. Here's this woman who was coming in the middle of the day, which really indicates she was an outcast, and she was living in a marginalized, because she's a Samaritan, compared to the Jewish people. She was a marginalized society that she was a part of, and she was an outcast at that. And here she comes in search of water, and Jesus initiates a conversation about that he's the one that can actually give her the water that will really quench her thirst.
Yes.
Of course, he's referring to eternal life and that he's really the source. And she, of course, begins to inquire, well, give me that water so I don't have to keep coming back every day. And then he reveals, he says, go get your husband. She obviously reveals where she's at in life. And in this really kind, gentle way, he's addressing after where really the state of her life and the state in which she finds herself in, but yet knowing she's searching for more. He begins to tell her about herself. And in that, she says, oh my goodness, you know, you've told me all these things about myself. But in fact, when you read scripture, you only told her one thing. Uh-huh. You know, she says she runs to the village absolutely amazed and just in wonder that, oh my word, I've just encountered the Messiah. He's told me everything about myself. That's what one translation reads. But actually, he only confronted her about the husband, the men factor in her life. And it's the one thing he went after to expose it, but he exposed it in order to invite her into relationship. And that's what produced her revival, because she became the greatest evangelist that in turn changed the whole village. And that village was never the same, because a woman who was an outcast with a heretic society and religion based, being a Samaritan, is the one person who changed the whole village. So my point is, when you encounter Jesus, you get revival in your own life, which in turn you bring revival to your family, to your city, to your workplace, because he may only be going after that one thing, but it's the one thing that's been holding you back, that in turn, when he approaches it the way he does, which is out of grace and mercy, he's not diluting your sin, but he is saying there's invitation because I'm not afraid of it. And when people realize they can come to Jesus where they're at, and he in turn can bring restoration and redemption to that place of failure, that's what produces revival in people, because they realize God can and will use them where they're at. An invitation for relationship is always available. That woman was never the same because she encountered Jesus, and therefore that village was never the same because they encountered Jesus.
This is what Jesus does, is that he calls people, every person, into greatness. And Krista did so well in, you know, drawing a picture of that woman being an outcast, and yet that was the woman that caused the whole village to turn. And that's what Jesus does with all of us. Mm-hmm. I think we fall way short in understanding what Jesus Christ can do for us and calling us into maximum greatness. Especially when, if we were to do a review of our surroundings, you know, oftentimes we become discouraged. But to look what Jesus did with the lady, I mean, you know, as we look at this story here, this is a slam dunk. What a victory for a woman that started out poorly and ended strong. And all of us can say, you know what? We really need the Lord to help us in our lives, because he sees greatness in us. We have a hard time with ourselves so often. But Jesus comes and says, nah, let's change the way you talk, because I'm going to do something great with you.
So to the person out there that is listening today and thinking that revival is supposed to be something that I go to, what you're saying is it begins and births out of me.
Oh, yes.
And it's a personal thing that then becomes what? Maybe contagious isn't the right word, but it unfolds, it becomes
energy.
It starts with me.
It can't help but flow out of you.
Yeah, right.
It synergizes.
Because whatever we're passionate about, yes, is what we talk about. Right? I mean, you know what people's hobbies and passions are simply by one conversation.
Or their frustrations.
Right? Absolutely.
But,
right.
I was being strategic inserting that, because I've been thinking about it for the last several minutes. Frustration is often a catalyst for change.
Right.
Yes.
Right? Right. We find ourselves muddled in something.
Stuck. Yeah.
And God uses frustration as a catalyst to get us to change and to look at our own lives.
Yes.
And it is from that sometimes people, then things are birthed, right?
That's good, Mark. When you see nations that are have become so dissatisfied, they're the best poised for a move of God. Yeah. Yeah. Our nation was rocked when 9/11 took place. Mm-hmm. We found ourselves vulnerable for the very first time. The war had never been brought to our shores. World War I, World War II, I mean, you look at them all. But the fact is that for the first time, mm-hmm. we were vulnerable. And it brought us to a new kind of evaluation. And during the moment when the towers came down and the devastation that happened, America was really soft. And I remember during that time, just when Bethany and I were pastoring, we suggested to our folks, right now, there are people extremely available, and people went after their friends and talked with them, went door to door, just asking, how can we pray for you, your family? You know, it wasn't that we were going there, you know, America, you know, is in trouble. We went just simply offering to pray for families, and we were received widely. He is asking us to turn our hearts to Him in a way unlike we've ever known. I think that the United States of America isn't in a place of peace, and she knows it. The only way to get back to that place of peace is to turn our hearts to God.
So we have about 3 or 4 minutes left, and I just want to give you all the opportunity to say directly to anybody that's listening today, how do they respond to God in what they hear inside, whether it is frustration or it is move out of tragedy or it's enthusiastic response to God from an encounter that's divine, or they can't even understand or explain what it is that's happened to them. It appears to be something of a supernatural nature. What do you feel like God's got on your heart to that listener?
I think through this conversation of revival, and we've talked about a few different facets and even approaches, even some church history of how we've seen it take place, I think for me, at least from my vantage point, to me, it's like that cry of desperation, that cry of hunger. So as people are listening to this radio broadcast, whether it's in your car, whether it's in your home, in your office space, or you're in the gym working out and you're listening to this right now, I really want to encourage you to cry out and really ask the Lord for a fresh encounter. Where we've become stagnant in our walk, or maybe our walk is doing great, yet we long for more. It's not always a negative, you know. It's the crying out for, we know more is available than what we have access to. We know if we carry all of kingdom, we have access to full kingdom, and yet we're recognizing there's contradiction or lack in some areas. Contending for the more, contending for the full availability, the full inheritance of the promise of God over our lives. When we get desperate for the more of God, I've just always seen Him come through. It may come in different ways or packages than I expected, yet there's always more I've encountered. And so for me, it's really taking that temperature, taking that gauge, that moment of self-reflection, going, have I settled into any area of my life where God wants to breathe some resurrection life and breath into my walk with Him, into my pursuit for the more of Him? And so my challenge, and I guess maybe more than a better word, is my encouragement to people listening is to pray, to put a voice, to put words to the cries of your heart. To me, it is having that conversation is what's going to produce revival in your life, because you're encountering Him in His presence.
I really like the portion of scripture in Jeremiah 29 to support what Krista was sharing a moment ago. She said it so well. I like starting, in fact, if we were to look at verse 12, then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that's what Krista was saying. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and bring you back. That is such an incredible promise found in Jeremiah 29. We know that He hears you when you call to him with all your heart. We know that. We've watched it happen with so many people. We want to invite you to go to our website. It's sought-out-global.com, and take a look at where we're meeting in different homes around this region here. We invite you to come be with us. There are some remarkable things that God is doing as people gather together from all so many different churches. One recently, I just remember a little gal, 5 years old, raised her hand. Nobody touched her. Nobody prayed for her. This little five-year-old born with a blood disease. The doctors have proven just recently after that particular Saturday night that she's totally clear. Born with it, 5 years old, had it all her life. Jesus healed her. That's what he's come to do for everybody.
Thank you, Herb. Once again, that website for information on Sought Out Global Ministries, or for our schedule on future home encounters, please go to soughtoutglobal.com. That's SOUGHTOUT global.com. Sought Out Global Radio is also active on social media. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the name Sought Out Global. Now, if you have prayer requests or would like to write us with your comments, questions, or wish to support Sought Out Global with your prayers or financial support, our address is Sought Out Global Ministries, P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. You can also email us at radio@soughtoutglobal.com. That's all the time we have for today. For Herb Marks, Bethany Marks, and Krista Pitcairn, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us next time right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.